In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. The shot is thrown. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 45. I'm Brian Shackman. He is John Senecal. I mean, both the Red Sox, I think where we got to start is both teams at various points have been ravaged by COVID-19, right? And right now the Red Sox are in the thick of it. And the Yankees actually played
better when
yeah.
they had COVID.
It kind of turned their season around, yeah. actually, because some other guys got in the lineup. Yeah.
Yep.
And with the Red Sox, you know, even though they've recovered a little bit, it has not been the same. And so I just, you know, the Red Sox, as of Thursday, had 8 players or coaches in the protocol. I think at least 10, maybe more, in the organization. And I don't want to get political.
Who are any of the name players? They got name players involved?
Xander.
Okay, well, that's a good one.
Yeah, and then the guy who was supposed to replace Xander went on the list. So the three.
Boy, if you had Andrew Velasquez, you'd be set right now.
Yeah, it's true. But the guy who was supposed to take those spots. So they're basically third option at shortstop.
Brock Holt's playing short now.
I would love Brock Holt to be on the Red Sox. And he, by the way, he's a role player. Got a standing O when Texas was in town 2 weeks ago. But
fan favorite.
I don't want to get political, but there's no way, you know, my theory is that when athletes don't say, when they just say an athlete has COVID and they don't say anything else, you know they're not vaccinated. When
right.
a politician says they have COVID and they don't say whether they're vaccinated or not, you know that they have gotten vaccinated, but they don't want their constituents to know it. So my whole thing is like, there's no way that all these athletes are breakthrough cases, right? There's no way.
There was supposed to be some 85th percentile that was supposed to be reached by all. I mean, it wasn't like a hard percentile, but.
Well, the Red Sox were 1 of 6 not to reach it.
Exactly. But I believe the Yankees were one that reached it
right
early, and look what happened to them. Because we can talk about COVID forever as far as how it affects everybody, but what it's affecting is the play on the field, right? And that's what we're here to talk about.
That's exactly what my point is. And so if they're not at 85, they could be a 40.
Right.
They could be a 30. Like, we don't know how few Red Sox are actually vaccinated. And, you know, when it comes to the game, it's like, I wish they could just extract all this other stuff, whether it's hesitancy or politics or whatever. It's a, if you're going to make millions and there are rules, I think it's different than you or me. And I don't know. I don't want to ever infringe on civil liberties. I don't want to get into that conversation. But you know what? The season wasn't going well, but this whole COVID thing could have ruined the Red Sox season.
You think about what's at stake, right? I mean, granted, it's still a game, right? But in the grand scheme of things, Major League Baseball, NFL, all the big sports, it's all driven by money, right?
Right.
So if the players aren't on the field, you're not making money. Regardless, I mean, if you're putting a shell of a team on the field, some people aren't going to show up because Xander's not on the field. Like, they wouldn't show up because Judge isn't playing.
Sure.
Right? So.
And I find it a little selfish.
Yeah,
if it's politics. If you have a cousin, an aunt, an uncle who had real bad after effects from the second shot, then I'm willing to have that conversation. But if it's politics, I think you got to put politics aside to play the game. I really do.
What I want to say is these teams should be more stringent. All right, listen. I guess, you know, with the union, you could fight the players' union all you want about the topic, but you need better checks and balances. If this is what's on the line, right? What happens if this happens in the postseason? And we it could happen when we get there. What if half the Dodgers team comes down with it,
right?
Well, what if half the Yankees, if they make it or whatever? There's, because COVID is going to be around in the foreseeable future for all of us, right? And in MLB going into the right now in the postseason, it is going to be a factor somehow.
Listen to this, Bill Belichick said that COVID had nothing to do with releasing Cam Newton. We're pretty sure that if he was unvaccinated, he'd have to get tested on the Sunday before a game. And if anything came up, he can't play.
There.
So how can you prepare to win a football game in the NFL with that hanging over your head? There's no doubt it had something to do with it. Urban Meyer says from the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know what? It was a factor. Then they had to walk it back. But the truth is, it has to be a factor. Chaim Bloom comes out midweek and says, you know what? It's super frustrating. And he went further. He said, we are going to have to think about this stuff. And you know what? They have every right to say, you have to do it. Like, I just, what I don't understand is that it's, I think it's a different dynamic than mom and pop. And I think that if you're dealing with a multi-billion dollar business and you're paying these players this kind of money, it's fair to say either do it or you're gone.
Exactly. If you can ask your child's vaccination status for contact tracing in a school with what is basically on the line there, right? Not billions of dollars, right? But it's still public health. But in MLB, like I said, you got to tighten up the ship. You got to start setting some rules and you got to figure it out. But that's never going to happen now. So you're just rolling the dice at this point.
Right. And and again, this is an apolitical comment. It's just selfish. And people will say, well, this is their lives and this is their rights. And this is, you're talking about a game. I said, well, then don't play the game. And I have no problem if the Red Sox said you either do it or you're gone. I don't care if the Patriots do it. I don't care if the Jacksonville Jaguars do it or if the New York Yankees do it. I think what was fascinating, though, is it showed a little bit more organizational depth than I thought with the Yankees, right? I mean, to me, that was what I learned from the Yankees, is that maybe their minors or their bench isn't so bad.
Right.
And with the Red Sox, I mean, maybe it's not so good. You know,
but is it coming at the right time for the Red Sox? Can they weather the storm?
They stink. Let's rotate into the segue, which is our second item on the agenda. If we were to have a visual here, we'd have like a PTI type thing with what's next.
We had an after effect to put it in the video. Yeah. We'd have Pepe Le Pew come across
something.
The screen.
Number two, which is we're less than 30 games left.
Right. The Sox got like 27 left. 20.
Well, as of Thursday, yeah. and then you have. You know, the Yankees, I last week when we had Matt Serois on, he thought the Yankees still had a chance to catch Tampa.
Well, they
were
four back. Right.
And they have that series with them. And so, like, it's certainly possible.
At that point, they were four back. Now they're a little bit further than
that. I still feel like they could catch him, but I don't think they're going to. So.
Well, the thing is everybody's waiting for the shoe to drop still in Tampa and for them to stop playing good.
Right.
Right? No one talked about them because the Yankees were playing so good. They are the best team in baseball. They have been the whole season, regardless of what anyone wants to say about San Francisco or the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers are stacked, but when you look at Tampa Bay and their $43 million payroll,
it's incredible.
They are the best team in baseball.
Pound for pound, they are the best. I don't think they're built necessarily to win the whole thing, but there's no doubt.
Listen, who haven't they played that is better than them? The Dodgers, right? They lost to them last year in the World Series.
Right.
That's it, really. So they haven't played the Giants, I guess, too, right?
But, the Giants have had their own struggles, and now they've been caught by the Dodgers. And we'll talk about, actually, we're going to talk, our number three today is going to be a little bit about what non-Yankee Red Sox team do we love and do we sort of root for. And I have a very specific one I want to talk about. But I feel like we're just setting ourselves up for a one-game playoff between the Red Sox and the Yankees. And the truth is, I don't think either team is a World Series team. So I want to make the playoffs.
Our World Series is Cole against Sale.
Yeah. And you know what? It'll be a fun game.
Yeah. It will be a great game.
Yeah. But I think that's it.
Baseball, that might be the best game of the playoffs.
Playoffs.
But like, seriously though, if that's what we're going to hang our season on, right? Both teams. And it's just, it comes down to those two. What if it's a 1-0 game? That's a pretty, I don't know.
Would you pay 150 each to go to that?
No. I'd sit at home and watch it on TV.
Because I got my season ticket email.
Oh, you're
about
trying to hawk a ticket?
If they played the Red Sox in that wild card, it'd be in New York the way things stand today.
So this might be an open invitation, is what you're saying?
No. I got the email from the Red Sox about buying postseason tickets, and I was like, and it reminds me of game four of the 04 ALCS when I've talked about this many times about
how
my wife couldn't get anybody to go with her.
Right.
And nobody wanted to go because they didn't want to waste their money. But that's what it feels like.
It was do or die for the Sox then, but then it's do or die for both teams on this.
Well, I just don't think either team is going to win the World Series. So, like, do I want to spend $300 to go see a team that's not going to win it? And somebody would say, you're an idiot. If you're a real fan, of course you're going to go. But, like, it's not going to Kansas City. It's literally playoff tickets will be like $125 a seat to sit in the bleachers.
Kansas City, you roll up for $12.
And as a parent, you do this too. Like, $250. I could go to a suite hotel with my wife, or I could get, that's one airline ticket to California.
That's one call to a plumber.
Right.
that's a phone conversation and a maybe with a plumber.
But are you with me with less than 30 games? Right, the Yankees are what they are. They're the first wild card team and they're not going to win the World Series.
So the Yankees and Sox, they got three more against each other.
Yep.
Right? So they battle it out there, right? So let's look at the
Yankees are gonna
Yankees got beat six them. Against Baltimore going
boom
out.
That's four a guaranteed
Toronto.
Four. By the way, guaranteed four. They're at least 4-2 in those six.
All right, six against Baltimore, four against Toronto, three against the lonely Mets that can't figure out what to do, one makeup against Minnesota, which I'm going to, three against Cleveland, which they should wrap around, three against Texas, who they should wrap around, then the three against Boston, three against Toronto, and then finish against Tampa. All right, now those last nine games of the season, we've talked and talked and talked about that for the Yankees. It's going to be tough, right? But you got Cleveland, and the Yankees have 17 home games, 12 away, and three of them being at the Mets. So let's say 20 home games going out.
Right. Well, the problem with the Red Sox is, I mean, they have to play Tampa again, Seattle on the
Cleveland,
road.
Tampa.
Chicago. No, but listen, Chicago on the road, Seattle on the road, and then you end the
is
season.
Is that West Coast swing going to hurt them or what?
Well, I mean, it certainly could. I mean, I think Seattle is a tough out, especially at home, and Chicago is good.
You can recover against Baltimore on that West Coast hangover.
The problem, though, is then you have Baltimore and Washington, which easily could be mailing it in to end the season, but all on the road. I mean, the Red Sox end with six on the road.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that we are where we are, but I wanted to know if you agree with the logic that that's what the Yankees are, a first wild card team, and even if they get past the Red Sox, I mean, they're going to play the Rays in the first round.
The Yankees, I think the Yankees can go deeper than that.
You think they can beat the Rays?
I think they can, but they got to play the right lineup, right? I'm just tired.
What is your first? Give me your nine then, just real quick.
All right, DJ leads off, Rizzo second.
Okay.
Judge third, Stanton fourth, Gallo with all his strikeouts, but his walks is in there. Voit is playing.
As DH?
DH, he's got to be. He's got to be in the lineup, dude. Voit has to be in the lineup.
Okay, so Stanton's in left?
Stanton's in left. I hate to say it, but Gio is out. He's got to be out. There's something wrong with him. He's got issues. He's just been battered around too much. You got to hang your hat off of him.
And okay.
Either go with Rougned Odor or, I guess Odor, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know the team well enough, but I mean, I think that's a black hole.
And then you go with, I guess, Bronx kid, obviously, if Torres doesn't come back. But like I said, Torres is going to be the big question mark. Apparently, he should be back this week.
Yeah, he'll be. I think he'll be back.
The roster is going to be at 28 for both teams, so there is room for people to stay on the roster. But when we talk rosters, we talk postseason, right? Voit has to be in the lineup for the Yankees. It's plain and simple. I mean, that's just how it works. Like when
so
the,
that
when
team,
in
you
the
think
lineup,
that team has constituted... Can
Listen,
be. What do you? What about Kluber? See,
Ks.
To me, I texted you earlier in the day before we taped. I think if Kluber could get back to what he was in a month,
he sure looked like it when he first started out. But again, like you know, Major League Baseball, the fourth and fifth inning, the second time through that lineup is you know, third and fourth inning is tough.
Say he got back to where he was at the beginning of the season. Is he number two?
No, Tyon's number
okay,
two.
Okay, so Tyon's you want to rely on him?
Yep. Yep, you got to go Tyon or Montgomery, number two. But I would say Tyon just by the way.
I think Montgomery smells of like a relief guy in the playoffs.
He's not going to be the ghost of Andy Pettitte?
I don't know.
You got to have a lefty. You got to.
I know. It's just,
and it's not going to be Andrew Haney, that's
no,
for sure.
No.
I can't believe they brought him against an Ohtani. I mean, what in the world were they thinking?
I don't know.
Awful.
I don't know.
You want to talk about stinking it up, dude?
He did good against the Red Sox a little while back, so I can't really
Another
argue
thing
with
you
it.
You said was stinking it up, right? Yeah. Two
All
stinking
right.
it ups.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is, of course, Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I want to spend a couple of minutes because, you know, I love social media for the different people who are committing their lives to baseball, even some of the Barstool guys who are annoying.
I thought it was for all the comments.
What's that?
I thought it was all the comments on your fan page.
No. I mean, I don't have quite the same audience, but I do like, you know, all the different highlights that can get posted so easily by these folks. I mean, it's just really cool when they turn around stuff so quickly because my life is as a radio host and I can't dedicate 24 hours a day to baseball, but like the people who do, I think with the people who are younger, who are tech savvy, you see a lot of stuff. And right now...
So when you started out in television, right, like 20-something years ago... Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that you would be able to get content on the air that fast?
No.
I remember people talking about it in like 08 and 09 and 06.
See,
and I was still like, that's like, it was just such a, for people that worked in television, it was such a crazy idea because you had so many freaking hoops you had to jump through to get something on the air.
Correct.
Right? To think that you could take your phone. And the whole wiping your job aside thing, just to think that you could take that technology and stick it in your hand.
Right.
Right? It just blew my mind.
And it's not just that. You can post it with graphics.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't,
it's
like
a production.
Yeah, you like we had all these tutorials toward the end of when I left television about how you can attach graphical elements and edit material right on your iPhone. And was I remember Kevin Nathan from NBC Connecticut, you know, with the old linear machine, like punching the key yeah. to go frame by frame. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you know,
trim
like
it, trim
he
it.
Was a classic with that. And, but my point is that it's made me really enjoy the whole league better.
Right.
Because I get more exposure to teams I wouldn't necessarily see. So the question I sort of wanted to put out there, and listeners, I put it to you as well. Take your favorite team, whether it's the Red Sox or the Yankees, put them aside. And if who is your 1A in terms of wanting to win the World Series this year? And sort of why.
And not the Baltimore Orioles. Like the obvious
No, a team that's in it. A team that's in the mix. No, it's a realistic question.
Right.
What is it for you?
For me, I'm going to go... All right, listen, sentimental, I want to say San Diego, right, because of Bobby.
They're in trouble, though.
Yeah, they're in trouble, right? And I'm going to... I'm not going to go with this team because
of that. But you can't.
No, I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Reds. All right, I don't think they have the pitching, but damn, they got some hitting on that team, and they got our boy Joey Votto. I'm a big fan of Joey Votto.
I know everyone loves him.
You know, he just, you know what, Brian? I love the way he goes about his business.
He's a gamer. You know what he is? He's not, it's funny using your sports cliche, but he's not like, he was sort of the early stage of the bat flip culture. But in some ways, he does it in an old school way.
Right.
Like, he doesn't annoy me the way some of the young kids do it, because like he sort of backs it up. He does some old schooly things. He just wants to enjoy it when it goes well.
Yep,
whereas it's not so much to like necessarily shove it down somebody's throat. Although when he started his brashness, I think people were bothered by it.
Right.
But now you see what the new guys do, and you're like, Votto's like Tame. Bud Light. Yeah. I mean, I do. Well, you know, the
Castellanos is great.
Yeah, and he's fun too.
They'll have probably the rookie of the year in the NL, Jonathan India.
So I mean, the it's going to be the Padres or the Reds for that second wild card. I think it's pretty safe to assume it's going to be one of those two teams. And so I think I love who you say, because I think it speaks to what my point is that I want a non-major market team. Like, forget about the whole Moneyball thing. Like, I'm sort of done with, like, you know, rooting for the Rays
like,
or the A's for that reason.
1990 was the last time they won the World Series, I think.
Who?
Reds. The Reds?
Oh, I don't even know. Back in the Lou Piniella days with Dibble and...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those and that was
Chris
a fun
Sabo.
Team. What a great... They were fun.
Yeah.
Was Eric
boys.
Davis? Eric Davis Eric still on Davis. That team?
Well, that was the year they whooped the Oakland, the Bash Brothers. They thought that they were going to be the real deal the next year.
Yeah,
and
that was early steroid days.
Yeah.
For me...
They were out of their cycle, apparently.
For me, I'm going to stick... It's funny you mentioned that. I'm going to stick in the NL Central because I started paying attention to the Brewers. I mean, Jackie Bradley Jr. went there and he...
Did you see the ball he threw out of home plate up into the batter's eye?
Yeah, he used to throw it over the monster from home plate.
That's crazy.
Now,
if you go to Fenway, right, you could look at that and be like, that's a huge feat, right? For us, that's a huge feat. But a Major League Baseball player, I think a lot of them could probably do
well,
that.
Well, it's only 315.
Right.
But it's...
He threw it from behind home plate, dead center field.
He is, to me...
He had to have thrown that ball 440 feet.
Right, but he's batting 125.
I don't care, man. He can make YouTube videos.
He's a platoon guy, but he signed for 10 to 12 million. Good for him. He's, you know, he'll probably be able to get a job next year. But my point is that it got me paying attention to the Brewers. And the Brewers, Milwaukee's a great city. They don't have a hockey team. They obviously just won the NBA title. They don't have a football team, although you can count Green Bay because it's not that far. And I just would love a team like Milwaukee to stick it in the face of the Dodgers, to stick it in the face of a big market team.
21 out of 30 teams in payroll, $70.7 million.
What, Milwaukee?
Milwaukee. Rays are 27th.
What about Cincy?
No, I didn't look at Cincy.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny because I'll look it up really quick. They're you know, as of Thursday, they're 30 games over 500, and they're just...
Cincinnati is 16th at 119.
Yeah, I mean, I would love Milwaukee or Cincinnati in the World Series, but I don't want it against Tampa.
So Milwaukee, Craig Counsell's their manager, and he scored the winning run against the Yankees in the 2001 World Series
with
Luis Gonzalez. But listen to their coaching staff, right? Craig Counsell, bench coach is Pat Murphy, hitting coach is Andy Haynes. You know, everybody knows who Andy Haynes is.
Yep.
He had so many batting titles over the
right,
years.
Right, sure. He's a household name.
Assistant hitting coach Jacob Cruz, because he raked too.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
knows Jacob Cruz. Their pitching coach, 5-time Cy Young Award winner, Chris Hook, ladies and gentlemen. Right?
Yeah.
Quinton Berry is their first base coach. But that's your first name, Quinton Berry, who had a cup of coffee with like the Tigers, maybe?
I don't know. I feel like
Jason Lane, third base coach. Steve Carsey, right? He was a big prospect with the Blue Jays.
Yeah,
I remember
Carsey. Yeah. Well, here your point is like they're a bunch of no names, and you know what? Yeah, I mean, I think that the Dodgers are built for championships, but there's something about the Brewers, and I know that national TV guys are like, whatever, I don't care. Like, that's a team, and even if I would use your Cincinnati, too, if Cincinnati end up somehow, by the grace of the man above, made it to the World Series, I would 100% root for them, and I even would have a little slice of me would be okay with it if it were against the Red Sox, if they did win. But the truth is, the Red Sox aren't going to be there. Hey, listen, we only have a couple of minutes here. It's John Senecal, Brian Shackman, Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Quick, we want to end up with Nugget of the Week. We don't have a sponsor or a great name for it, but you got Hall of Fame coming up next week.
Yeah. So Jeter's going to the Hall of Fame with Larry Walker and what was his name? His catcher. I forget. Simmons? Ted Simmons?
Yeah.
And then...
Jeter and like, who cares?
Yeah, Jeter, who cares? So it was supposed to be last year, but COVID, obviously. So it got me thinking, all right? So Jeter, with the big uproar, was he wasn't 100% on the vote. It was 99.7%. One person.
Who was it? Mariano
was the only one that's been
100%. It's one of those things where the one voter who didn't do it for Jeter was symbolic. We all know he belongs in the Hall of Fame, but some writers don't believe it should be first ballot unanimous or whatever. Because the truth is, like, if Mariano is unanimous... and Jeter is, there's probably 40 others that should be
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
So to me, it's like the grade inflation in school, right? Like today's B+ is, you know, our generation's C+ or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, I think the guy who did it, it's kind of...
50 is a new 30.
It's kind of lame to do it.
Right.
But I also...
He'll never show his face or her face, their face.
So I mean, should we start just voting on him the way it should be then?
Maybe there
like
should
if
be
you
some
think the guy should be in the Hall of Fame, you should vote yes.
Yeah, instead of putting all your personal. I mean, who did he piss off? Who did Jeter piss off that didn't vote for him?
Well, he pissed me off because he never gave the media.
Maybe it was
anything.
You.
No, I'm not
you
a
secretly
Hall of Fame voter.
All right, so let's get back. Let's get back to the Hall of Fame. So you said there could be 40, right, that deserve unanimous. So
totally.
I'll do part of the top 10.
So the highest percentages ever
highest
is
percentage,
that what you're doing?
Okay. Top 10, right? Mo is 100. Jeter 99.7. Griffey 99.3. Seaver 98.8, Ryan 98.8, Ripken 98.5, Ty Cobb, who everybody supposedly hated, players in included 98.2, George Brett 98.2, Hank Aaron 97.8, Tony Gwynn 97.6.
So out of that whole list, because Cobb was, you know, Wagner was, I don't know, the Hall of Fame was so traditional back then, you know, and Ty Cobb, people hated him. I can understand people not voting for Brett right away. I can understand, you know.
How do you explain Ripken?
You can't. That was my point. Like, you
19
can't.
Consecutive All-Star games. Now, granted, I remember watching Ripken play when he was at the end and being like, all right, charity vote. Jeter should be playing shortstop. A-Rod
sure,
should be playing
shortstop. Absolutely.
But he did bring baseball back, broke Lou Gehrig's streak.
Listen, I was like in college or whatever. And who give a crap about baseball? But when they were doing that streak, we all tuned in.
Yeah.
He would be a no-brainer. But like the others, like, and Griffey.
Nolan Ryan.
Sure. But I mean, like, he never really won anything.
No, that was his problem.
Right, so like, I could understand somebody who held out for that. Same with Griffey. Like, Griffey is an absolute no-brainer Hall of Fame, but if some jerk-off decided, you know what, he never won a championship, I wasn't going to, like, scream to high heavens. But the thing is, I was surprised at how quickly you actually got to people that I was like, okay, you don't have to vote for him. Like, to me, like, Ripken is crazy. He should be unanimous. But like,
well, how do you explain Hank Aaron? Is it a racial
sure,
thing?
Sure, absolutely. Obviously. Racist, yes.
Yep. And George Brett, you mentioned. So, little Red Sox-Yankees tie-in for the Nugget of the Week. So, George Brett at 98.2. Him and Ted Williams are the only players since 1940 to bat over 390 in a season.
Wow. Rod Carew didn't do it?
Nope.
Yeah, people hated Ted Williams.
Of course.
But that's fascinating to me because it surprises me that there are more people in that top 10 or whatever who I was like, okay, well, I could see how somebody didn't vote for him.
And now Hank Aaron at 97.8. had 15 30 home run seasons, and he's tied with, who do you think? He's a Yankee.
For in terms of percentage?
No, for 15 30 home run seasons.
Oh, is that A-Rod?
Yep.
Jesus.
So there you go. I mean, another person that will never get into the Hall of Fame. If anyone's going to pull it off, it'll be that schmuck.
Oh, he's had a tough run. His SPAC has done terrible. He lost sucks. J-Lo. I mean, he's on a... You were loving him last summer. You were into him.
Well, no, I'm
you were
into him.
You thought
him.
His SPAC was going to go to the moon. Well, and you were like, everything he touches turns to gold. SPAC. Now he's a schmuck.
He's always been a schmuck.
Yeah, but you were into him.
I was into
you were
him.
Into
I
him.
Was, well, he was something to talk about because there was nothing going
no,
on.
No, you were liking him. You
oh, my
cute.
God.
You
I'm going to go back and pull the episodes, and we're going to talk about
it. We should, because you were totally kissing his
this,
ass.
I said I was going to mention this on the last episode, and this is before we go. All right? What's in your closet, right? I said that I sent you a thing.
That was awesome.
34 shirts, right?
Right.
34 different Yankee shirts. I found 10 more folded on the top shelf that I was going to take out of...
I think Soroy's had like three dozen too.
So I have like 40 something shirts and t-shirts and then another like 10 or 12 jackets or something.
I don't know if that's impressive or pathetic. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I'm glad
it's
we have
something.
I'm glad we have the plexiglass. You're pointing at me. A little A-Rod. Got a little sensi bone there. Episode 45. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. John Senecal, who is the brains and the man who started this whole podcast, and I'm Brian Shackman.
You can watch us on YouTube if you want to. If you don't like, just listen to things. You're
right, because you're handsome.
You
you take a shower, you brush your hair.
Yes, I did. And I'm not wearing Yankee stuff today either. So
I know.
Mark that.
You got other stuff to do. We'll see you next week for episode 46. Go watch a ball game.